The book of Psalms, Psalm 68, verse 1 is where we begin our study today. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 68, verse 1, a psalm of David, says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him." Hating God, who is so good and so holy, is a hideous crime. It deserves the most severe punishment that anyone can imagine. And by the way, hating God is also a big waste of time, because no one who hates him can ever hurt him. 2. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before fire, let the wicked perish before God. Wax is hard until it is put close to the fire, then it melts. And the wicked like to see themselves as being hard, tough. And they talk tough, and they think they're really something, even boast against God. But they will melt away into nothingness in the presence of God. 3. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. It's amazing, but the same presence of God that melts the wicked like wax makes those who are right with God through Christ feel happy. It's true. The same holy word of God today that bores or even irritates the godless makes the godly feel good. 4. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. Singing songs about God should never be sung to people, but to God. Singing about God should never be done in order to sell CDs, or to receive the accolades of people, or to become a well-known Christian recording star. Like a woman I knew down in Stevens Point, she sung in a couple of churches that she belonged to, and she had some business cards made up with her name and underneath it National Christian Recording Personality or something like that. I thought how obvious it was, and you can always tell when somebody is performing rather than singing unto the Lord. The songs about God should be directed to God, not to people. God is too holy to be used to further someone's career. And that goes for preachers too. Verse 5. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God's word commands that widows and really all the poor and needy be taken care of. And if people will not do that personally, or through the church, or through nonprofit agencies, then God would have civil government do it. But it must be done. And I know many of the people who listen to this are probably very conservative, you know, and against big government. But I'll tell you what, having the wrong group take care of the poor and the truly needy is better than not having anyone do it, because it is God's will that it be done. Verse 6, God gives the desolate a home to dwell in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. The rebellious dwell in a parched land, and that parched land could even be a paradise. Because rebellion is sin, and sin makes miserable. And so to a person who has a rebellious soul, Even a utopian society would be a dry and miserable land. Rebellion is not okay for anyone of any age. It is sin. It's not okay for a teen, and I bring that up because it seems like people give teens some sort of a license to be rebellious. Some people do. Well, it's expected. No, it isn't. No, it's normal. No, it isn't. It's not to be thought of as normal or acceptable. It's not acceptable for anyone of any age to rebel against the legitimate authority in their life. That is sin. And it's why those who persist in it are not happy. It is sin. It is wrong. 7. O God, when thou didst go forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, God went forth before his people as they traveled through the wilderness. You say, wait a minute, I thought Israel wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Well, it was wandering to them from their perspective, but actually each step was arranged by God. And it's the same with us. Our days sometimes may seem aimless. Like we really didn't accomplish much, but kind of just wandered. It's not true. Not if you belong to Christ and if you have asked him to leave, or lead, I should say. It's not true. Verse 8, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain at the presence of God. Yon Sinai quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. That gives you an idea of how awesome God is. When God arrived to give the commandments, Mount Sinai trembled. Think about that. Nothing on earth is more sturdy and powerful and majestic than a big old mountain. And yet, in God's presence, Mount Sinai shook like a scared puppy. 9. Rain in abundance, O God, thou didst shed abroad. Thou didst restore thy heritage as it languished. All sorts of strange and good things happened in the desert for God's people as God led them for those 40 years. Rain fell on the dry desert ground. That was unheard of. But they always had water. Bread from heaven fell to the ground every single day. That's a miracle. Quail for fresh meat came into the camp in a very convenient way. And so God's presence was seen not only in frightening signs like the shaking of the mountains, but in pleasant miracles also. 10. Thy flock found a dwelling in it. In thy goodness, O God, thou didst provide for the needy. God doesn't always give us what we want. But as this verse says, in thy goodness, O God, thou didst provide for the needy. God doesn't always give us what we want, but his goodness ensures that he will always give us what we need for as long as he wants us around. And that is true for all God's people. And it always has been true. 11. The Lord gives the command. Great is the host of those who bore the tidings. The kings of the armies, they flee, they flee. When the Lord speaks, the enemy takes off. When the Lord gives the word, things take a turn for the better. 13. The women at home divide the spoil. Though they stay among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with green gold. In other words, God spoke, Israel's enemies took off. And the women back home spread the great news. And the news was the armies that came to destroy us have all panicked and run away. So instead of suffering who knows what from the enemy, the Israelite women are enjoying the goods that the enemy left behind when they took off in a panic. Lesson for us, that's how quickly a situation can be reversed when it is God's will. 14. When the Almighty scattered kings there, snow fell on Zalmon. God scattered his people's enemies like a melting snowflake. And again, the lesson is God can reverse the most desperate-looking situation without even a problem. It's no big deal to him. 15. O mighty mountain, mountain of Bashan. O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan. Why look ye with envy, O many-peaked mountain? At the mount which God desired for his abode, yea, where the Lord will dwell forever. The writer says, hey, Mount Bashan, why are you envious of Mount Zion, where God put his tabernacle? See, that was a good question. Why? Because Bashan was known for being a majestic mountain. It was much more impressive than Mount Zion, where God put his temple. Physically, it was much more impressive. But it was not as glorious as Mount Zion because God did not choose it. God decides what is important, and he has decided that those things and those people which belong to him and that are sanctified, set apart for him, they are the most important. Even though, when measured by human standards, they may not look like much. 17. With mighty chariotry, twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands, the Lord came from Sinai into the holy place. The armies previously mentioned, which came against Israel, had many more war chariots than Israel. But the all-powerful God, who cannot be stopped, is pictured as coming with too many war chariots to even count. Lesson for us: multiply your biggest problem by infinity, and that's how strong God is to help you. Don't worry, he can handle it. 18. Thou didst ascend the high mount, leading captives in thy train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord may dwell there. The New Testament actually quotes this verse and interprets it as referring to the ascension of Christ into heaven. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he took with him the souls of the righteous who had been waiting for the gates of heaven to open for years. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross blew open the gates of heaven, and Christ took the souls who were waiting to get in to heaven with him, to be with the Father when he ascended. And when he got up there, he also sent the Holy Spirit back to his church, and along with the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts for his people. And that's what this verse is talking about. 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. God daily bears us up. God may allow heavy burdens, but he is always there to hold us up when we think that they are too heavy for us to continue carrying. 20. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belongs escape from death. Any God that cannot save his people from death isn't a God at all. Really? Why in the world would anybody follow a religious leader who died and stayed dead? They have nothing to offer me, I'll guarantee you that. You can't beat death, you're not my God. And Jesus has promised to save his people out of death, and he can do it too. I know he can, because he's already raised 3 people. He did it while he was here, 4 including himself. It's the kind of God I want. 21. But God will shatter the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. He keeps walking in his guilty ways. Those are the kinds of people who are in trouble with God. God will judge and condemn his enemies who, although he gave them opportunity, they would not turn from their evil ways. 22. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. God's enemies can try to run from him, but no matter where they hide, and no matter where they go, the Lord will find them and bring them to the place of judgment. 23. That you may bathe your feet in blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. God will get holy revenge for his people. He will get justice for his people. It will be what an enemy of God deserves. It will be final. It will be horrifying. And that's a promise from the Lord. You can count on it. 24. Thy solemn goings are seen, O God. The goings of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. So, the goings of God, they include saving His people and destroying His enemies. See, part of God's saving His people includes removing their enemies and putting them somewhere where they can no longer cause trouble. That's why He has to consign people to hell. 25. Look at this. The singers in front, the minstrels last, between them maidens playing timbrels. And that was the divine order for worship. God wishes to be worshipped in an orderly fashion. That's the kind of worship that's led by the Holy Spirit. God's not in favor of anarchy in society or in worship. I'm not saying you can't be spontaneous in your worship, but I'm saying if worship is planned, that doesn't mean it's not led by the Holy Spirit. And there are those who believe that. The moment you plan out a worship service, a song service or something, you've already automatically removed the Holy Spirit from the equation. Well, that's ridiculous. It's very biblical to plan worship service. 26. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. And he says in the first part of verse 26, bless the Lord in the great congregation. Give Him some praise. Since God refreshes us by His grace in such abundance, we ought to please Him with a lot of our praise too. 28. Summon Thy might, O God. Show Thy strength, O God, Thou who hast wrought for us. God had issued a decree that Israel should be strong, and they were made strong. And Israel was blessed when they prayed. And so much relies on prayer, because through prayer, God makes us strong. Through prayer, God moves and makes us useful to Him. 29. Because of Thy temple at Jerusalem, kings bear gifts to Thee. This is actually a prophecy given by David, and it came to pass after David died, actually, when David's son Solomon was king. Because by that time, the temple of God was so magnificent. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was so magnificent that it drew important leaders from far away. And they would come, and they would see it, and they couldn't believe their eyes. The holy temple of God. And it caused them to reverence the God of Israel. And today, it is the holy life of God's people who are the temple of the Holy Spirit today. It's the holy life of God's people who will inspire those who hunger for holiness and truth to honor God, and some to turn to God. 30. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. And those are not godly people. God's people do not delight in war. God's people do not strike towers with airplanes and kill on purpose innocent men, women, and children. God's people do not blow up trains in London that destroy innocent men and women and children. Those are not God's people. They claim to be God's people. They are not. They are Satan's people. And a satanic religion. God's people do not delight in war. God's people will fight to stop an enemy who attacks or plans to attack. But even then, war is a necessary evil, not to be used to spread terror or expand territory or expand influence. 31. Let bronze be brought from Egypt. Let Ethiopia hasten to stretch out her hands to God. The old enemy, Egypt, will one day become a friend of Israel. It's going to happen. Israel's going to be converted to God. Egypt will be converted to Christ. When that happens, they're going to get along just fine. That sort of thing happens today, too. terrible sinners suddenly become good men and good women, trustworthy friends after they repent and come to Christ. It's amazing. 32 kind of goes along with it. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord, and it's going to be a happy world once everyone everywhere is singing praises to God. Nations can't stay mad at each other if they are focused on God to the point where they are giving Him praise. And it's the same with people. People cannot stay mad at each other if they are focused on God to the point where they are giving Him praise. 33, to Him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, lo, He sends forth His voice, His mighty voice, His voice, His mighty voice. God's voice is mighty. Talking about His Word, it is powerful. God's Word, God's voice, it penetrates, and it does things. God's Word penetrates and it performs. It makes dead sinners come alive spiritually when they hear it. It will give the physically dead life again. Jesus said, there's coming a day when all who are in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man and they will come back to life. God's voice is powerful. And God's voice is an attractive voice too. It really is. God's voice is an alluring voice in a good way, because it draws hell-bound sinners to Christ. That's the power in the Word of God. That's why Satan will have a preacher do anything except study, pray, and teach the Word, because he's afraid of it, because it does good things. 34. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and His power is in the skies. Ascribe power to God. Power belongs to God. Talk about it. Think about it. And never doubt God's ability to do the impossible. Possible, impossible are both the same to God. None of it's a big deal to Him. 35. Terrible is God, or awesome, magnificent, unbelievable is God in His sanctuary. The God of Israel, He gives power and strength to His people. Blessed be God. Oh, when a person kneels before God and thinks about God, there will be a sense of awe and trembling and humility. That is being with Him in His sanctuary. A good cure for sinful pride is to spend quiet time before the Lord. Psalm 69, verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. In other words, I'm in trouble over my head. Most of the time, people will not cry out to God for salvation until they know that they are in trouble over their head. Verse 2, I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. And like I said, often it takes big trouble to get people to cry out to God. He's in big trouble. He's crying out to God. And part of the Holy Spirit's job is to show people that they're in big spiritual trouble with God so that they call on Christ to save them. That's why the Word of God has to be given out straight, so people know they're in trouble. Desperate. It's truth. 3, I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. When a person is serious about seeking God for something, really serious, they will, if need be, pray until they are exhausted and their throat is sore and their eyes are blurry. 4, more in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. Listen what David says. What I did not steal, must I now restore. David's enemies were demanding things that they had no right to demand from David. Wanting something isn't a good enough reason to demand it or to think that you have a right to it. 5. O God, Thou knowest my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from Thee. It's best to be honest with God about our sins. He already knows about them anyway. Might as well be honest. I'm not kidding him. And we don't even have to be nervous about being honest with God as long as we're humble. God's love for us is not based on us being perfect. It's based on His grace. We need to remember that. 6. Let not those who hope in Thee be put to shame through me, O Lord, God of hosts. Let not those who seek Thee be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. In other words, no one should let the trouble that God's faithful ones endure keep them from going full blast for Christ, or keep them from turning to Christ. Oh, it's true that God's people may suffer loss because of their faith, but those who reject God will have much bigger trouble, and they're going to have it for all eternity. Verse 8, I have become a stranger to my brethren, an alien to my mother's sons. David's family didn't want him. That's bad. They were ashamed to be connected to him. Anyone can be friendly when all is well, but trouble is the test of true devotion. When things are bad and you have nothing to give, those who stand by you, they are your friends. Verse 9, next time. Until then, so long everyone.